As I said in the beginning of the Mass, we're the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we're getting real close here to Christmas, although not quite yet, so don't tell me Merry Christmas yet. No, I'm kidding, you can do that, but we're still waiting a little bit. We're not quite there. And in the midst of this fourth Sunday of Advent, we also had this weekend the winter solstice. Some of you might be familiar with that, right? So it's the darkest day of the year, beginning of winter. And some of you probably know why we have seasons and why we have times of light and dark, but maybe some of you don't. And when I was young, when I was in middle school, I really wanted to be an astronaut. So I always find these things very fascinating. Because our planet, our Earth, spins on its axis around the sun, right? I think we all know that. And it does it at kind of like a slant, like a top. Have you ever spun a top? And the top, when it slows down, it starts to wobble a little bit and it gets a little crooked. And that's how our Earth spins around the sun. And so there are times when one part of the Earth is closer and another time when it's farther away, right? That's kind of common knowledge. So there are times of darkness and times of light, summer and winter. And why that's the case, as far as scientists can tell us, and they don't know for sure, but I believe about 4.5 billion years ago, there was a planet about the size of Mars that bumped into the Earth, a little bump. And it sent off a bunch of debris into the air, and that we call that the moon. And when that happened, it knocked the Earth off kilter. And I think that that's a fitting thing to think about, this idea of something kind of knocking into our lives, setting ourselves, you know, we're on this planet, right, off a little bit, that makes parts of our life at sometimes dark and at sometimes bright. We have our own seasons in our life, and so we all know there are times of joy, and we also have times of darkness, of sadness, and of sorrow. And I think that's a fitting way to think about what happens in our gospel today. We hear the story of the visitation, and I'd like to talk about a little bit of a spirituality of visitation. You might only hear the word visitation at prisons, right? So prisoner visitation time, or maybe if you have family or friends who are going through like a divorce where the social services gets involved, you had supervised visitation, right? So we have maybe a negative connotation for the word, but it actually is a beautiful and I would say even central word and spirituality for people of faith, especially for this time of Christmas. And we have a double visitation, which really marks this spirit of visitation, a double visitation, or two people are visiting. And so we have the first and the most obvious in the story, which is Mary visits Elizabeth. Mary is Elizabeth's cousin. Mary has just received word from the angel that she will bear the son of Jesus, and so she is newly pregnant. And Elizabeth has been pregnant for a little while now, and said that she's older in age. And Mary is probably a teenager, maybe a little older, but very young yet, and travels probably 80 miles or so on foot to get to care for her cousin, who you could imagine is maybe struggling a little bit in this moment. So Mary comes not only in joy in hearing the news, but also to offer some serious human help. And you could picture Elizabeth being a little bit older, maybe I don't know how old she might be, but imagine maybe she's in her 40s, or I don't know how old she may be, but that's, you know, it gets a little harder to bear kids when you get a little older, and so that's a struggle for her. It's her first child, right, and I've never had a kid, but I hear that that's a struggle from talking with many of you, and so she has that going for her, and you can only imagine that she thinks that maybe her husband had something like a stroke, and I say that because when the angel told Zechariah that Elizabeth would conceive, Zechariah was struck mute in his disbelief by the Lord. And so he couldn't share what was going on with him to Elizabeth and his family. So he comes out of the temple, and for all Elizabeth knows, I would imagine, it doesn't say this exactly in the text, but imagine maybe, did something happen? Did he have a stroke? What's going on with him? He's sick. And so you have this woman with her first child later in life, her husband, something's going on with him. And she's struggling through all of this stuff. And we have Mary comes and offers this very human, very necessary human help. So that's the first layer of the visitation. And a good witness in and of itself for all of us who are spending time with family or a family who are alone, or maybe even some of you who are alone looking for something to kind of pull you out of yourself a little bit during this holiday season. But there's something that's even deeper than just this first visitation. And that is the visitation of the Lord to Elizabeth through Mary. And in this sense, Mary is an example of the church. She's an example of what you and I should do. That when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So what does this mean? Not only was Elizabeth cared for materially. I'm sure Mary helped with all the stuff around the house, listened to her, you know, cared for her in all of those important ways. But she also, by her presence and the presence of Christ within her, gave her the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is a gift that lasts even in the midst of struggle and strife. And so we have this double visitation. And I've experienced that a little bit in my own life, both being a visitor and being visited. I can think of on Christmas, it's a work day for priests, you know, and so I'll be visiting a couple people, not everyone in the parish, but a couple people who are homebound. And whenever I get to visit people who are homebound, they are always very delighted. And it's not because of anything I have to say. I mean, I'm not a jerk to people when I visit them, don't get me wrong, but it's not that we always have great conversations. It's not that I always understand everything that they're going through. Far from it. But when I'm there, there's a presence of someone bigger than me who they get to experience and they get to encounter. It's the presence of God. And that's not because I'm necessarily a good example of it. It's because who I'm representing. And I think that that same is true for any of us when we get the opportunity to visit people. And so Mary is the model of the church. She's a model of what you and I are all called to do. And so any of you, when you visit someone who is suffering, who is alone, when you do it in the name of the Lord and in a spirit of prayer, you're not only helpful, but you also give them a gift of the Holy Spirit in their life. It's a gift that is sorely needed. I've received that myself many times. One time I can think of in particular, I've shared a little bit with you. A couple years ago, my mom passed away, and I had a couple of friends who were able to come, take some time off work, and to come down and visit with my family. And they did some cooking, and they did a little bit of caring, and they prayed with my family, and they were there, not just being helpful, right? Because they could have, I suppose, paid for someone to come and cook and clean for my family. But that wouldn't have been, I mean, it would have been good, don't get me wrong, but it wouldn't have been enough. It wouldn't have given my family, even the members of my family that struggle in belief, the gift of the Holy Spirit in their life, because they came carrying Jesus. They came like Our Lady, carrying our Lord. And so my family didn't just get material help. They also were left with a sense that they are not alone in this world, and that their struggle and their sorrow, my struggle and my sorrow, while it wasn't taken away, while it wasn't destroyed, while it didn't bring back the dead, it left us with a sense that struggle and sorrow and sin does not have the final word. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit that each of us can receive. If we open up our own hearts to being visited by the Lord, and we can give if we visit others with that spirit of that double visitation, of that material and spiritual assistance. And you might say, well, it's not that needed today, perhaps. I don't know, maybe some of you might say that. As I was thinking about planets and space, that was my theme as I was preparing for my homily, I thought of a quote from Carl Sagan. Some of you might not know who he is. He's like an astronomer, a science popularizer, so he tries to make science interesting to people. And he was commenting on a picture that the Voyager satellite took from about 4 billion miles away from Earth, of the Earth. So it's like a selfie of the Earth, you know? And it's an image of a little pale dot in the middle of this big, vast emptiness. Some of you might have seen this. The picture is actually called a pale blue dot. And he commented on it, this image of this little insignificant nothing of a planet. trying to say that we need to help ourselves, which is true enough. But in the midst of it, he says something that's sort of a little jab, and here's what he says. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. It is up to us. And while there's some truth in that, right? That first aspect of the visitation, that material help that we desperately need to give, it's true. There's also, he was a well-known atheist as well, and so there's a jab at that. He's saying, look at the vast emptiness of space, and where's God? You don't see him out there, do you? Basically, he's saying there is no God, so you better help yourselves. And our story of the visitation tells us the opposite today, that in the midst of all of the human help that we offer, which is essential and good, that the help of the Holy Spirit can be present among us for those who choose to receive it and then to share it. And that is that help of the Holy Spirit, which is true and is real, which ultimately changes our lives more than any human or physical help. And so that's why Elizabeth, when she heard Mary's greeting, was filled with the Holy Spirit, because in Mary's voice, she heard Jesus. Just like in your voice, when you visit people with this spirit of visitation, people will hear the Lord. And so they will say, like Elizabeth, to you who hear them, blessed are you. That's, translate that differently. That just means happy. And so people who encounter you filled with the Holy Spirit will say, how happy it would be to be like you, to know that you are not alone in this empty speck. And think of how insignificant a little speck is and how much smaller you are than that. And yet in the midst of that vastness, that smallness of our own life, that you are blessed to be filled with the creator of the universe. She says, blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. And so in this Christmas time, we're not quite there yet, right? So we still have some time to prepare our hearts a little bit. In this Christmas time, prepare your own hearts to be visited. And then prepare your hearts to visit others with that spirit. And what a great time it is, because we're surrounded by people now. And it's quite often the case around Christmas, right, that we're surrounded by people that get on our nerves, right? And you actually might even be that for someone else. We probably all are. I know that when I visit my family, I'm kind of like, oh, how come they're not all going to church with me? And they're probably saying, how come he's always going to church? And we're all just irritated with each other a little bit. And so what a great opportunity to be the light of the world, to be that voice of Jesus in your words, to fill others with the peace of the Holy Spirit that only the Holy Spirit has to offer. All of that will take place in the midst of your normal human goodness and kindness. So I'd encourage you to seek out times and opportunities where people are alone, where people are unwanted, where people bother you. Pick someone that bothers you and visit them, even if it just means visiting across the table, even if it means swallowing your pride and your anger and resentment and being present to them, even if it's just picking up the phone and calling a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, a mother, a child whom you're estranged from. But take up that, that cross, that standard, ultimately that joy, because it will make you blessed. It will make you peaceful and happy. And it is the only way that the gospel message can be shared. Imagine if Mary had never told anyone about Jesus. Imagine if Mary Magdalene had never told anyone about the resurrection. The Lord needs you and I to be his hands, his feet, and his voice this Christmas season. And so I encourage you, allow the Lord to visit you through everyone you see and in this Mass in particular, and then to share that visitation with others.